Jesus reveals to the Hungarian mystic Elizabeth Kindelman in the book The Flame of Love of the Immaculate Heart of Mary one of the great unknown sins of the world, but also of believers, and it's one of the single biggest obstacles in growing in the spiritual life. We're going to get into that in today's video. If you'd like to support this channel in any way, please do so through Buy Me a Coffee. Let's get right into it. First of all, what even is a spiritual life? When we're growing in our faith and learning about our faith, that isn't a spiritual life. That's a life of faith and a theological life, because you've probably met and have been a person at some point or another that has learned a lot about your faith, but you haven't necessarily grown in your relationship with Jesus, only with knowing about it. And you probably know theologians that know lots about the Catholic faith, but have very empty interior lives. It's also not the same thing as a life of prayer. A life of prayer is a life of saying lots of prayers, knowing lots of prayers, having lots of time for vocal prayer. But you and I have had the experience of saying many rosaries and interiorly not feeling connected to the Lord Jesus. A spiritual life is that mystical element where we connect with Jesus and we feel like we're communicating with him and that he's communicating back, that we can say we're establishing a real relationship with him. Many people, first of all, make the mistake of thinking that this is not for them. Rather, all of us are called to a mystical life and a spiritual life of deep relationship with Jesus Christ. Now let's listen to what he tells Elizabeth Kindelman. While I was repenting of my sins, he continued, Jesus said, you know, the great sin of the world is to ignore my inspirations. It is because of that and lukewarm consecrated souls that the world is walking in darkness. They could help me, but they are not even aware how dangerous their tepidity is. I beg you, communicate the desire of my heart to your spiritual father. Hopefully he and those who guide souls will follow my inspirations with greater fidelity and bring souls to understand the importance of this, because otherwise it is impossible to lead a spiritual life, regardless of how great their perseverance may be. If they set aside my holy inspirations, their souls will become corrupted just like the ones entrusted to them. Did you hear that? We cannot enter a spiritual life if we're not listening to Jesus. That's why the thumbnail was so clear. We need to listen to the things that he tells us. Now, some of you may say, oh, this Elizabeth Kindelman, I don't like her. She's too new. Fine. Let me read to you from the doctor of the church, St. Catherine of Siena. She says something very similar. Listen to this. Sometimes the soul will be so ignorant that having resolved to say many prayers vocally, and I, this is God the Father speaking, visiting her mind sometimes in one way and sometimes in another, in a flash of self-knowledge or of contrition for sin, sometimes in the broadness of my charity, and sometimes by placing before her mind in diverse ways according to my pleasure and the desire of the soul, the presence of my truth, she, the soul, in order to complete her tale, will abandon my visitation that she feels, as it were, by conscience, rather than abandon that which she had begun. She should not do so, for in doing so, she yields to a deception of the devil. So it's not only a sin, it's a deception of the devil. The moment she feels her mind disposed by my visitation, in the many ways I have told thee, she should abandon vocal prayer. Then, my visitation passed, if there be time, she can resume the vocal prayers which she had resolved to say. But if she has not time to complete them, she ought not on that account to be troubled or suffer annoyance and confusion of mind. Wow, did you just hear that? That if God visits you while praying with some inspiration, and you're praying the rosary, for instance, he's saying that you should abandon it and listen to his inspiration. Isn't that why we're praying? We're praying to speak to God. So we're here saying, God, please give me this. Please tell me this. Please show me this. Whatever it is. And he's like, here I am. And we're like, God, leave me alone. Can you let me pray my rosary? Do you see how absurd and downright dumb that is? I mean, it's difficult to think of something more absolutely absurd than that. So we tell God, God, wait over there while I finish my prayers to you. I know I'm praying to you, but I need to do this rosary first. The rosary is powerful and I love it and I pray it every day. But I pray it to have a deeper encounter with the Blessed Mother and with Jesus. So if they show up, put it aside. And if you have this 30-minute visitation with the Lord Jesus and with the Blessed Mother, forget about the rosary. Stick to the visitation. Stick to the inspiration. He even says there to Saint Catherine of Siena, doctor of the church, stigmatist, mystic, most amazing saint ever. Forget about it. Don't be troubled. Don't be annoyed. Leave it behind. Wow. And if you don't do that, you will be giving into a deception of Satan and sinning. Just like, imagine, you know, our Pope Leo XIV visits our country, which I think he will, and he comes and knocks on your door and he says, hi, can we have dinner? And you say, no, Pope Leo, I'm sorry, I'm praying. Can you like come back later? That would be a sin of a lack of charity. I mean, come on, that would be crazy. Do you see that I'm getting excited about this? What even is an inspiration of God? Well, St. Catherine of Siena was told by God the Father several, but we're going to go through a quick biblical story that's going to make it very clear for you. And it's the story of Elijah when he's in the cave. What happens? God says, I'm going to pass by. And what passes by first? I'm just going to sort of summarize. A thunderstorm, an earthquake, a fire, like all these crazy things. And then he hears a soft whisper and he covers his face. And I believe he says something like, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. What do those previous encounters have in common? The storm and the earthquake and the fire. I remember when I talked about this one time, someone correctly pointed out they're violent. They're violent and sort of tumultuous. What does that tell you? That if you are hearing a voice in your mind that is violent or tumultuous, it is not God. God is the peaceful whisper. That tells you a lot about his character. That is amazing. And that sets the standard for what an inspiration is. That's why they're so easy to ignore, because they're peaceful and calming. So now that you know what the inspirations are like, how do we more perfectly dispose ourselves? I'm going to tell you, we have to strive for equanimity. What is that big word that I have to say it slowly to say it correctly even mean? It means calmness of soul. I made a previous video talking about Saint Joseph. Why did God speak to Saint Joseph in a dream? And then this was revealed from the mystical city of God. It's because when he learned about the Blessed Mother being pregnant, not from him, but from the Holy Spirit, he didn't know it was the Holy Spirit yet. He was disturbed in soul. So God couldn't speak to him. God had to wait till he was sleeping, till he had calmness of soul for him to begin giving him that dream. And so that was a sort of small defect of Saint Joseph, which teaches us that if we want to hear God, we have to calm our soul. I'm even speaking calmly to emphasize the point so that we can hear the Lord speaking. That's why we need quiet places, calming places, and give ourselves time to come down from the anxiety and the worry of the world into a place of equanimity. That will dispose you more perfectly to hear the calm whisper of the Lord when you are praying. Now, right now, I'm going to give you a way to absolutely guarantee that you 100% of the time hear the Lord's voice perfectly. Are you ready to hear the 100% guaranteed way to make sure that always happens? There isn't any. There is no way for us to guarantee that we will always hear the voice of the Lord. Even in our communication with humans, we make mistakes. How do you possibly expect to always hear the Lord's voice perfectly? We can't. So you need to let down your pride, stop being so controlling, stop being so perfectionistic, and stop wanting to have this perfect relationship with the Lord. The just man falls seven times a day, remember? So therefore, in us learning how to hear the voice of the Lord, we will make mistakes. There is nothing you can do to avoid that. You will make mistakes, you will misunderstand him, and you will use those mistakes to grow in humility, and those will be steps that the Lord will use to get you to the place of perfection. And even saints on this side of heaven, who are very high in the spiritual life, will make mistakes in what they hear. That's why we have confession. That's why we have repentance. That's why we have humility. Stop worrying or obsessing about trying to hear the Lord perfectly. That's something that's really getting in the way for you. Therefore, you need to experiment first with small things, then with large things. So don't let the first thing that you do in trying to hear the inspirations of the Lord be like, well, Lord, should I sell my house or not? No, that's too big. Start somewhere smaller. Lord, how do you want me to pray? Lord, what do you want me to eat today? Lord, what should I speak to my children? Lord, what YouTube video should I watch? Uniquely Mary. And things like that. Let me give you two beautiful stories that show you how wonderful it is to hear the inspirations of the Lord, so you can think about how awful it would be if we had not heard them. The first one was a long time ago when I was in Thailand with my parents. At the time, I was praying the Psalms, and the Psalms had everything to do with, they have eyes, but they cannot see. They had ears, but they cannot hear. They have mouths, but they cannot speak. And I was seeing how that was speaking about the idolatry that's there in the Buddhist religion in Thailand. And I was so sad, and I was so desiring to go to Mass, to pray, to receive the Lord in the Eucharist. And we were on a tour bus, and we happened to have like about an hour and a half stop in this one part of Thailand. And I felt the Lord kind of inspire me to go pray. There happened to be a cemetery there, and I had a devotion then as now to the souls in purgatory. So I went and I was praying, and I kind of felt inspired to do so. And I listened to it. I could have stayed with my parents. I could have played it safe, but I listened to that inspiration. And as I was walking through the cemetery, it wasn't very big. I was getting to the other side of it, and there was a fence there, and I could hear singing and something like bells. And I thought, am I going crazy? What is that? I kept walking, and it was a Catholic church in 0.3% Catholic Thailand. I happened to stumble upon a Catholic church that was beginning Mass at that moment. I had to take a chance. I could have thought, oh my gosh, is the bus going to leave me? And I thought, you know what? I don't care. I jumped over the fence, looked like a total fool, and I literally kind of ran into the church and kind of landed on my knees at the front, like almost I was about to collapse in joy. And it was the beginning of the Mass. I went to Mass in Thailand and received the Lord in the Eucharist, and I was so consoled, all because of these split-second decisions of listening to his inspirations. I'll give you another second, slightly less dramatic story. So it was around 2008, and I was raising money to go to World Youth Day in Sydney. And I needed like about $130 more. At the time, I was driving on the freeway, and I was listening to a sermon about the Good Samaritan. And at the time, I was learning a lot about my faith. And as I heard the story of the Good Samaritan taking action and helping someone, I prayed, Lord, I really want to help someone. I don't just want to learn about my faith. I want to put it into action. A few moments later, I was driving, and there was someone stranded on the side of the freeway, as there often is here in Houston. And I felt like the Lord was like, well, here you are. Why don't you help that person? And I was angry, and I was like, seriously? I don't want to help this dude on the side of the highway. That's a terrible idea. But I felt that inner nudge, that inner inspiration. And I was like, fine. I pulled over, and I tried helping him. There really wasn't much that I could do. So I tried. I at least stopped and was friendly to him. And the guy was so moved that he gave me $5. And when I held those $5, I thought, oh my gosh, I got anxiety, because I knew that the Lord gave me the $5. And I was like, what on earth am I going to do with these $5? Well, I put it in my pocket, not knowing really what to do. Then I went home and I got to the mailbox, and it just so happened that someone had mailed me a check for $125. 125 plus 5 equals 130, which was exactly how much money I needed to complete paying for the trip to World Youth Day 2008. Had I not listened to those inner inspirations when I was slightly praying and also living my daily life, those things would not have happened. Imagine how many inspirations you're missing out on by not listening to the Lord Jesus in prayer. My friends, if this video has helped you in any way, please like and subscribe and support this channel through Buy Me a Coffee. Now, if you want to learn an amazing way to pray using a very ancient method, you may want to check out this video right here.